Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sunday Show.
The Sunday Show.
I'm Elisa.
And I'm Anna Banana. And it's Sunday.
It is Sunday. I've been off because I had that tour. I had to do something a little different from work on Thursday. So it was weird. Because I got home yesterday from my tour and I just fell asleep basically on the couch after I ate dinner. And this morning I woke up and I'm like, wait a minute, what day is it? You know, I wasn't sure. It just didn't feel like, it didn't feel like Sunday. So it is a Sunday show. Thank God we have these shows. Otherwise I'd be all messed up with my dates even more so than I normally am. But it's a holiday weekend. Here in the States, it's Memorial Day weekend, and you know, because I fell asleep so early last night, I was on Facebook like at 4 o'clock this morning or whatever, and you know, because I was up, you know, I watched some TV, fell back asleep, but basically I've been up off and on since about 2 this morning.
Oh my.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got home and I ate some food and passed out on the couch. Didn't even get a drink of wine or whatever, nothing alcoholic. I don't even think I had water. I think I just was like, I'm digesting and I'm done. That's all I'm going to do today. But Memorial Day, you know, I try to read up on things and so, you know, I have... You and I, I'm sure, we both have a lot of friends who are, like, in the military, and so a lot of them are being quick to point out that this is meant to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, those who have, you know, who lost their lives fighting a war for the country. And then I have some conflicting reports as to how it started. So a sort of a side thing was like, you know, how we're so quick with our information, but we don't know how to verify any of it. Even stuff that we were told in school, right? Even those
right.
textbooks have been erroneous. So, but there has been a story that Memorial Day started in Charleston on May 1st and something 18 something something something, and it was. According to the whatever one story on Facebook was that it started because the freed people were wanting to honor those Union soldiers who had died for the cause, and so they kind of gathered and did their thing, and then a couple of years later another general decided, well, why don't we make it like they had some like Decoration Day or something. So it was something where you showed your patriotism and it was to honor those, again, same type of thing. So I'm not sure how it all came together, because then at some point in certain parts of the country in the South, they had a Confederate Memorial Day. So just for the Confederate soldiers. And then at some point it all just became one big thing. So I'm, you know, I just find that interesting that we have these different shades of history, and so not even is it just, you know, because you think, oh, Memorial Day, and then there's something in the fall for Veterans Day, and it's like, yeah, one's slightly different. It's all military, uh-huh. but slightly different. But just the background behind it has been interesting to me, I did not dig any deeper, because then I get other reports saying, oh no, it started here, and like, you know, it's just kind of a strange thing. But anyway, something to remember people who have passed. That's what the Memorial Day is supposed to be for. So, and I think it's interesting because I've gone to, I've done a bit of traveling, and one of the first big trips I took was to Europe, to like Belgium and Germany and the Netherlands, and all these places, you know, France, all these places where big wars and big battles for these big wars were taking place. A lot of them have these memorials, you know, like kind of like going to Arlington Cemetery in D.C.
Right.
It's and any really, you know, any cemetery, but when you get military type cemeteries, it's everything's very pristine and precise. You know, the headstones and all that, it's very orderly. And so the same kind of feeling, though, that for me, any cemetery. But when it comes to remembering, because it was a war, you know, that's a different vibe than, you know, family plot where everyone's, you know, this is where our ancestors, this was either it was, you know, the site where a battle happened. That's where, you know, we'll just put all the graves here. But there's a definite vibe to it. And it's, I remember that feeling when I first went to one of those places. I mean, even Arlington, I think the first time I went to see it, I may have been in seventh or eighth grade. But that feeling of, you know, I want to remember all these people, but I want to remember why we even had to do this.
Right.
You know, it's sad that we have so many places to commemorate where people had to die for whatever reason. So that's sort of what I was getting at when I saw that. I knew I wanted to read it, but you know, there's something about wanting to honor people who've gone before us. But we have to also think a little deeper as to, well, why do we keep having these monuments and memorials that need to be built? You know,
we could get into the whole situation of how people think that if they just remember history, we won't repeat it. And sadly, that's not the case. And I think it brings it back around to, you know, looking at that. And with everything, there's growth and expansion, like you said. And actually, when you were talking, I Googled it, and it's they called it the nation's deadliest war of the Union.
Mm.
And they said on May 5th, 1968, 3 years after they established a Decoration Day. So what's interesting now, it's a federal holiday recognizing all soldiers who have passed. And so that, you know, it grew from something, you know, specifically for a certain area into something huge, its growth and expansion. And you look at that and you think, well, it's the growth and expansion of this honoring this, but it's also growth of expansion of people passing in war. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So if we could recognize that, to focus on it, it does expand with anything, I think. Yes, it's good to remember those. And, you know, the more energy, again, we put into that, you know, we can we can talk about this constantly. I mean, I even had a really interesting conversation with one of my, I call them my new friends, because I haven't really known them very long. It's a group of women that like to hike and camp. And one of the women, she does, you know, a Survivor's Day type of event, and she's really very active in it. And so we got into that conversation of awareness and what it means. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, I never looked at it that way. I never perceived it that way. And you know what, you're absolutely, you know, not that I'm right. It's how you feel in the energy. And so I said, if your energy feels good in what you're doing, if you feel good in remembering those, just remembering those, not that they, you have to focus on the war, but remember those who did something brave and courageous and stepped up. It's interesting how it's like things are popping in my head now, because conversations I've had with people and therapists and stuff, and we talk about the different personality traits of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there who have a personality trait of anger, and something that, recently was said in a therapy session was, you know, we're fortunate that there are people who have this personality trait, because those are most of our soldiers. And I was a little bit taken aback at that. I was like, whoa, you know, so how can we shift this, how can we shift this energy of anger? Because we talk about anger as moving up the emotional guidance scale to getting your power back. And yet when you perpetuate that energy and it continues and goes over and over again, you know, and like I said, this you could have this conversation about all types of things. And not saying that all soldiers are angry. He was, and that's what he did. He went back and he said, I'm not saying that all soldiers were angry. I'm just saying that when it comes down to protecting our country, you know, I would say, you know, and he's a therapist. So he's like, I would say that when it really comes down to it, it has to come down to getting yourself very angry to be able to step up and do what you have to do as a soldier. You know, we talk about courage, and I'm sure there's fear, and there's every emotion that plays in there. And at the same time, what allows a person to step up into battle, to face a foe or face what they perceive as a foe for the good of a nation? You know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not the type of person that says this is not right and not good. I'm just saying that there comes a time and place when it's like, it's just feels like a disconnect, you know, like it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm just like, it doesn't make sense to me. And yet I know soldiers who've passed in battle. And I know a lot of soldiers who've come back from battle. So, and the ones who've come back from battle have told some not very pleasing stories about being in battle. And so, you know, you have these conversations. I know I've had conversations with people, and things that we think are very normal and very, you know, things we would go do for recreation are things that some of these people just will not even, they won't even fathom. Camping, for one. I enjoy camping, and I have one friend of mine who's like, you couldn't get me to camp, you know. He's like, I will
after
not go
being,
out.
After serving the war.
Yeah. He said, you couldn't get me to do it. So it's very fascinating to have these conversations with people and really see where their mindset's at, and this person in particular is probably one of the most kindest, gentlest people I've ever known in my life. He's just a sweet man and a good friend. And he went through a lot. He was in the Vietnam War, and he's one of my clients. And he had no idea what he had, and he didn't really go into detail. But he told me, he said a lot of it was just really horrific for him, and pretty darn scary, you know. So, and he was very young, you know, so very very young.
But and that's another consideration. I mean, this is a country where that draft was, you were drafted. That was part of the culture of what it meant to be an American. And I'm sure in other countries, I'm sure they have something similar where you do your service. If you're male, you do so much service in the military. You do something similar, something along those lines. And so the things that come up with this, they're archetypical things. You know, there are things that you do within your family unit, and you have certain roles that you think you need to play or that has to be played out. And so there's the provider, there's protector, there's nurturer. You know, there's always something, some role to play. So when it goes onto a bigger scale, so outside of your family, because really, you know, we kind of go into these things that, well, this is who I identify with. You know, you have certain layers of identification, where it's your family or your nationality or your ethnic origin, your gender, your religion. So you have these ever growing, increasing circles, and it just depends on, you know, some of them will overlap and some of them won't. And so to the degree that you feel you identify, and so it's something that's important to you, then you do what you feel you need to do. And this is sort of how I look at it with corporations. So anything that's really, or institutions, anything that's big, because if it's grown to be that way, it has a lot of people involved and there's an identity involved. You could do this with sporting teams, do sports. You know, that's very seems innocuous, but you know, you get a lot of people together for these big gatherings, these big matches, like, you know, World Cup soccer, or you know, and in the States it's the Super Bowl or the World Series, which, you know, always funny that the World Series basically takes place in the United States for baseball. So whatever. We've really tilted the playing field there, so we seem to always be the best. But so we have these certain identifications that we want to uphold, and then it goes into not just upholding, but to defend it if something feels like a threat. So I just think it is interesting that you and I have had this conversation where we have had to do you know, T-shirts for, you know, let's the war against, you know, not drugs, but breast cancer or some type of something. There's some type of, we got to fight this. And, you know, so that's the sort of terminology that we use to get support, you know, to raise the money, which is basically going to go back into research. And that's how you fight it. I guess you fight it with knowledge, but you don't always apply that everywhere across the board. You know, you don't always ask those questions. You don't always make the connections with why is there so much fighting? You know, why does there have to be an us against them? You know, and I had years ago, I had a guy. He was he dropped off a free, I think it was a free paper. And this is when I worked at a bookstore back home in Charleston, and he dropped off these little free papers. And he was the coolest guy. He would drop by, and we would just wax philosophical. I mean, literally, we would just talk about all kinds of things. And he kind of left that little tidbit with me about how our culture identifies, you know, with being part of a club or, you know, a gang or a team. And he did want to go more into how that team atmosphere, you know, plays out, and how we have accepted that, like, oh, you know, you're on this team, you know, team whatever, and so you buy the jersey and you wear the colors, and that's who you identify with, and it's a way, you know, you think of it as a way to promote community, but then it's also a way to promote only your community, right? Now it's like your community above all others. Our sports team is better than your sports team, and so it can come off as being, well, that's, you know, how we have to throw it that way, to pitch it that way, you know. But does Atlanta really have something, you know, some beef against Pittsburgh? I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, I don't know. But let's just play that drama and see who you know. So now we have these fans, fanatics, who will, you know, taunt, and they'll come up with different things to kind of taunt the other team. It's very interesting how it can kind of escalate, and you kind of want that, you know, because it's a way to, again, it's, there's a feeling of belonging, and this kind of goes into a lot of different areas. When you feel like you belong someplace, then that becomes a sacred space for you. It's something that you want to continue having, and you want to make sure that it stays the same. Like, you want to make sure it's still there. So you do what you can to preserve that. I mean, so we kind of play this cycle over and over again. You identify with something. It's a group. That's your tribe. I don't know, at some point where you decide that it's us against them. Like, I don't know where that vibe comes in to say, well, us against them, so we have to do, you know, it's like, that's how you get your teamwork to get together, you know, it's a common enemy, that's a big theme in a lot of movies, you have a common enemy, even though if you don't agree with the other person, but you have a common enemy, then you work together, and somehow, miraculously, everything's okay. I don't know, it's just interesting how we see it played out again and again, and we don't always think about the reasons why. Like, you don't always think about how those bigger decisions are made. The big theme is also just being the soldier. Well, I'm just a soldier. I just follow orders. Versus, you know, I'm the creator. This is what I want to put together. I just find it fascinating how we all play different roles in depending on the situation. And sometimes we don't take that moment. And maybe that's why it's good, something like Memorial Day, because for me, every time I've seen, like I said, every time I've seen a memorial, which is usually a gravesite or even like the wall, there's like there's a wall you can see all the names of people who have passed. And, you know, it's I've always wondered that, like, how do we stop that trend? So where it's not such a big deal, and there's like this mourning about it, but we haven't gone deeper to say, well, how do we stop it? Like, how do we change it so that we're not having to mourn because we're not having to have these types of engagements? I mean, it's an ideal world to me, but I just think it's an interesting question to ask at these times, because we do get into our cultural groove, which could also be cultural rut,
and we
just sort of do it, you know.
Yeah.
That's with everything. It's, you know, from the fabricated stuff, like, well, Valentine's Day is, you know, it's because whatever, Mother's Day, we're just going to make it up. Fathers are going to make it up. Grandfather's Day, National Wine Day. You can make up anything. Every day can have a special day.
Yeah.
You know, for it.
Well, you know, you say that, and it's interesting because Stephanie and I had that conversation too, and it's so frustrating to see the commercialism of so much. And I think it's kind of the shift where, obviously, in our family, there's been a disruption, and working on that at the same time, it's within our lives, because as a person who has a background in promotion and advertising and marketing, I see where what people are doing and how we are, the commercialism is there, how it's presented. In the apparel business, your summer comes out in winter, your winter comes out in summer, you know, everything is pre-done. And with holidays, you'll see Halloween show up in July, you know, I mean, and that's how marketing is done. And so it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. And I think that's because we have more connectivity. We are constantly on, you know, if you think about, you know, I mean, we both have computers up, and we're both on phones. And so we have all these pieces of technology that we're using, and we're constantly on. And so when do we stop and turn that off, and we connect with the human part of ourselves? When do we connect with the humanness of who we are individually? And so there's a lot of that stuff that's just surfacing. And I think you're right. It's like, how do we stop perpetuating that? And then it's individually, we have to stop and say, enough is enough. You know, for me, I want the human connection. I want to be able to have a conversation. I want to be able to laugh and play, and I want to see your face. I don't want to have an earbud stuck in my ear. I'm talking to my phone. You know, I mean, this is the way you and I have to do it, because we're in two separate places. At the same time, you and I do get together, and we just sit and we have coffee, or we just hang out and we talk. And so it's the connectivity, and that's the thing. You know, and you know, Steph was saying everything is so commercialized. You know, let's get down to the core of what, say, Christmas is about. Even for those that do celebrate Christmas or not, it's not even about the holiday. It's about the time of year where people connect and families connect with each other if they don't connect during the year. And sometimes that's not an easy process. And the question is, then why do you make the effort to connect with people that maybe, because, oh, they're my family. And what does that mean to you, really? And it's digging deep. It's all digging deep and getting back to the basics. I mean, even I was telling you, I'm right now sitting in Steph's apartment. This is half the size of the house that we were living in. Or are living in, I'm living in, and she's still unpacking, and yet it's just a great space. And she and I were talking last night, and it's like, it's about simplifying. It's about letting go of things that don't serve you. And it's about changing your perception and changing your connectivity with people, and not assuming you think you know what the other person wants without talking to them. You know, you're trying to step up to the, you know, like, that's, I'm trying to step up to the plate and trying to do all these things. And it's like, how does that feel to you? Do you feel like you're really connecting? Do you feel like you're actually, you know, putting forth an effort for the greater good? Or are you doing it for yourself? And it's so interesting to have these conversations, because it's like, who are we individually, if we're not satisfied within ourselves, how can we be satisfied for other people? You know, so, I mean, we could layer that on top of everything we've been talking about, you know, soldiers, you know, soldiers going into battle. That's not a self-serving, it's not a self-serving career. It's not something that I say I want to grow. I mean, maybe somebody does say I want to grow up and be a soldier. I don't know. But most of the soldiers that I know, they did it as a means to get to an education or to see the world. Or, you know, so there was another reason that they did it, and then they had to step up to the plate. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting. And this, you know, all of this, everything that, you know, the conversation that we're having and everything that's been happening in my life recently, it's like, it's just peeling back again. I mean, not just peeling back the layers, I'm releasing energy, but I mean, it's like, it's digging deep and peeling back to the core of who I know I am. And really stepping up and saying, what do you want? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's been very, with each of us, if we can really connect within and say, you know, what do we want? I'm not talking about material possessions. And I would hope that the majority of people would say, I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to be loved, and I want to be loved. You know, so I'm mixing in a little my Friday show in there, right? But, yeah,
I agree, because I think, you know, when you're talking about really getting it back to the basics, like stripping it down and asking what is it that you want, that's really getting to the core of the matter. Because, like I said, all these things that you identify with, you know, like your family, your hometown, your country, you know, Braves baseball, whatever it is, you know, you identify with those things. And so you do certain things when you're in that environment. But sometimes you're easily influenced by that group or that whatever that group stands for. So sometimes you don't always get the chance to take a moment for yourself, because the individual, it's like this ongoing thing with the individual and then the group. It's like trying to separate yourself from source, right? You're source.
Right.
You are source. But you're also an expression of source. So you're going to do it a certain way, but you're still the same stuff. But this is, they're telling me, oh, that's the whole point. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you're in this form, to understand that, but to also keep in mind, there's some kind of chuckling that whole phrase. Keep in mind, because it's not just mine, but to keep in mind that you're still source. So you're never going to really stray too far. You may express very differently, but it's not wrong. It's not
Mm-mm.
wrong.
No, not at all.
You know, and so I think that's, again, that was so if you were just to identify with source, which is like, you know, that's probably what, you know, your friend Trey was doing. Let me identify with source. Okay, now I am source, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was all about being an unlimited being, right?
Right. And so he was. Right.
And now he is.
And
so he is, yeah. Yeah.
So yes, but see how, I mean, that's just so interesting, because then for those of us on the other side of things, like, what did he just do? You know, like he took him out of this game. You said step up to the plate, and I was kind of chuckling. I'm like, yeah, but what game are you playing? You gotta step up to the plate.
Right.
But this game doesn't have a plate. Sorry, we have a football, or there's no plate involved, and you're here with a bat. Like, I don't know what's going on, but she's stepping up to the plate. What game? So it's important to know what game they're playing.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is, as I'm on my journey. Okay, so you know, I get really crazy, and I have these programs that I use and for mindset and well-being, and you know, I read a lot of stuff, and I'm, you know, constantly out to better myself, I guess, if you will, or love myself more, whatever that is. And a lot of it that's coming in now, and you know, do a lot of being still, a lot of sitting, a lot of meditating. And a lot of it that's coming in now is everything around us is actually within us. So, you know, and I was, I remember talking, we were talking about the inner game, the inner, you know, dealing with our inners and what that is. And everything is our inner. I mean, it's definitely, and that's something that it's like, as a conscious human, wrapping your brain around that is so not easy, you know. And as source, it's the easiest thing in the world. So it depends on what mode you're in, you know.
Right.
So, because I keep hearing, it's your inner world. It's your inner world. All of this is your inner world. And it's like, how can this all be my inner world? And it's like understanding that that inner world is your, can be your turmoil. It can be your love. It can be your appreciation. It can be any of those things. And it can also be an upheaval of sorts where you have to really turn everything upside down to get to what's true, you know? So
right.
So yeah, that's what I'm, you know, working on wrapping my brain around now is the is that inner game, that's the outer game. And you'll hear my cat, that's not your cat, Elisa, that's my cat Boo Boo, who's who's the only one of the three that has come over, and he is, he had a rough night, let's just put it that way.
Poor baby.
He is, he's 14, what is he, 14, 15 years old and 14, and he is definitely, you would think he would be an only kitten, but he's not, and I think he kind of misses his brother and sister in a weird sort of way, so.
Well, that's a lot to get used to. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a lot to get used to. I had to deal with my cat, who's the same age. A couple years ago, she's always on. She's always talking, you know. Yeah.
Yep, that's her.
Yep. That's my kitten. So yeah.
Yeah, I was outside on the porch and I stepped inside because there happened to be a lot of activity going on. All of a sudden, big trucks starting up and moving away. So I stepped out again. I like it out here. It's nice, it's peaceful. Yeah, so you know, when we want to, you know, just look at stuff that's going on and what are the traditions and what are the things that are happening in the world right now that are things that we can, you know, not necessarily shift and change for other people, but shift and change for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's curious. It's curiouser and curiouser.
Well,
curiouser and curiouser. Anyway. But, yeah. So, it's like, what else? What else?
Well, plenty else. I mean, just you saying, like, you know, this is all about the inner, because your inner world is reflected in your outer world. And vice versa, I guess, you know, it depends on how you want to work it. There's definitely some reflection there, so you can reflect on it. And so to get those little tidbits, like, well, what were some things that can always show up? And so for me, it's like this wanting to be in a nice space, like having that family life or having that space where everything's in order, you know, but not like museum quality, like, you know, don't sit on anything that's nice, and only use like the dirty hand towels. Don't use the guest ones. It's not that. It's not, you know, it's not. But having having a very comfortable and loving, you know, space that feels like it's mine, you know. And so I what have I been doing the last few years has been like kind of being in other people's spaces. And sharing that space, and it's not, you know, it's always like in transition. And for whatever reason, it's like when I did have those chances to create my own space, I was never around. Like my very first time living, not like in a dorm, but like in my first real job after college when I moved to Macon, I traveled a lot. So I felt like it was like a storage space. A little apart, like a little one bedroom apartment. I never completely unpacked because I was always living out of my suitcase, and I traveled a lot for my job, so I was just never really around. And so when I had to pack up again, I'm like, oh, it's still a pain in the butt, right, to have to pack up and get everything cleaned up. But, you know, when you first move into a space, there's this possibility because all your crap isn't there anymore. Like, it's not there yet. So you have all this possibility, and you see the space for what it is, and then you put everything in, and then you kind of get really crowded really quickly. At least that's how it's been for me. And I, you know, over it's only taken, how old am I now? How many years to figure out, some of this stuff, I don't know why I'm still carrying it around. Like, some of these things, I don't know why I still have them. There wasn't a pull in either direction. Like, oh my God, I have to keep it. It's more like, well, I don't need to throw it away. Let me toss it in this box and I'll look at it later. And so every move, I kind of, maybe I'll look at it later, maybe I don't, but it does catch up with me. So to reflect on that and see like all my little piles of stuff, you know, throughout the house now. I'll try to keep contained in certain areas, but I'm like, yeah, you know, it's still the same thing. Like I haven't made time to look through any of this stuff. And so when, you know, if it's about me making time for me, then when is that going to happen?
Right. Right.
So.
No, and then, you know, it's so interesting. And I think that there are a lot of people who are questioning that as well. And that's something, and it's so funny because Steph and I, you know, now it sounds really odd. It's like now that she and the kids have moved into this apartment, it's like we're actually communicating a lot better. And the past couple of days, we've had some conversations. Yesterday was not easy because it was moving day. And so I actually went to my sister's and I hung out there. As much as I wanted to help them and I wanted to stay, my heart just was aching, you know, because I still, it's like very surreal. And she said the same thing. It's very surreal. And then last night we're having a conversation and she's like, cause I have not been over to the house since they moved everything there, the stuff that she was taking out. So it was interesting. And I said, well, how does the house look? And she says, it doesn't look like a home. It doesn't feel like a home right now. She goes, she goes, I'm not going to throw that on you to clean all that up. I will help you. And we're going to get rid of things. And I thought we are working on our connection. We're working on the connectivity. And I think that's important to state that we are both saying yes to making an effort to at least communicate with each other so that we can co-parent our children. If more results out of that, then that's great. And at this point, it's about creating a friendship, creating something that supports each other in a kind and loving way. And so, you know, and basically 72 hours, there has been a shift in energy, which to me has been phenomenal to be able to have these conversations, because I was kind of expecting to stay at my sister's last night. And I kind of messaged and said, you know, how's it going and everything. And she said, you know, it's going really well. I'm kind of okay and it's good. And she said, we're going to be wrapping up, putting some of the things together, and I'd like you to come over and see it. And I thought, wow, that's okay. You know, that's cool. So, like I said, it's a big difference in energy and a big difference. And I starting to realize what I was resisting in things, and starting to realize that we both of us definitely have things that need to be worked on individually. And then we have these wonderful children. And so moving in a direction that is kind of parallel, I guess, but connecting at certain points, I think, is very important. So there's just a lot of calmness. And I think in my mind, since I'm a crazy artist, right? I mean, I have this imagination that goes really wacky, you know, so, you know, my brain's just kind of going out there. So, and I kind of didn't want to go over to my home last night, you know, kind of
see
somewhat of the empty spaces. But it's nice to be able to, if you will, wake up in the familiar, whether it be my kids or my cat laying on me, you know, one of my cats anyway. So, and to be able to not feel like you're walking on eggshells when you're communicating with somebody, you know, and I think that's been the biggest difference. And again, those shifts within us, and again, I'm talking about this because this is the example, right? The shifts within us make the shifts in the world. And if we, you know, each person realizes is that shift within themselves, whether you feel like you're in a happy space or not a happy space. Because one of the things that I realize is I look at different relationships of people that I know, and it's certainly my family, you know, my parents and my sister and my brother. And I look at everybody's relationships, and their relationship dynamics are different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I think how, you know, we were talking, it's like our relationship was, you know, it was definitely our relationship. And then at the same time, I don't want to say what was it lacking and how were we perceiving, because I don't want to look at the lackfulness of it. I want to look at the perception of it. So there's a lot of that stuff. And again, I'm definitely not trying to diagnose any of this stuff. You know, as the therapist say, leave it for us. You know, if
right.
stuff comes up,
right.
leave it for us. So I make my notes. And so I'm looking forward to that shift and that change. And then there's a lot of other stuff. Like what do I really want? And it's so funny because I was kind of goofing around yesterday and just looking at jobs, you know, and the idea of a job for me sounds really weird, you know, because I've been working for myself for 30 years. And at the same time, part of me feels like I just want, I don't want to call it stability, but I do want to call it stability, because when you're an entrepreneur, especially, I mean, there was a time and place when my business was stable and it was good. And there was a time when I was happy with it. And this is a time that I am not. So when I am not happy with it, you can see how unstable it is, and because it's something that you're not, your heart and your heart's not in it. So it was funny because somebody had asked me, Anna, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And I said, I'd be a librarian. And they're like, what? I said, I'd be a librarian. Well, there's actually a job out there that is called a library specialist that's available. And I am looking at this job going, I'm just smiling whenever I look at it. It's working with the county's library the county that I live in, and it's a learning lab specialist. So you travel around to the different libraries and you teach people how to use like different things within the library. It's kind of an interesting job. Plus it has some, because I'm a graphic designer. So I was looking at teaching graphic design, because as much as I love doing it, I do enjoy teaching it, you know? And so
right.
I threw that in there. Somebody, my sister was saying, you should be a graphic arts teacher, you know? And I thought, I could be a graphic arts teacher. And so we were just having fun with it yesterday, bantering around, you know, with what kind of job, because I was laughing. I was like, no, I'm going to become a truck driver. One of my sister's friends was over and she's like, oh, you don't want to be a truck driver. That's a different sort of person. She goes, I'd rather you be a bartender. Now she was a bartender for many years. And so we started chuckling, and it was just fun to kind of look at what's out there and what's available. And because I said, I want a career shift. And as much as I would love to get into coaching and speaking and traveling that way, right now I feel like doing something that would be meaningful and purposeful, helping others, working directly with people. Because right now I'm more business to business and I don't really see my clients. So it's like, yeah, something different. It just feels good to me. Anyway, so just I kind of throw that out there. Yeah, I know. And I was like, yeah. And so, you know, and of course, Home Depot is one of my favorite stores, and they're looking for some graphics people and corporate. And I was like, So there's a couple of little options, and I said, well, the first thing I need to do is, like, get my resume updated and all this stuff. So those are the things that in the next couple of days that I'll be working on. And yeah, so I want it out there again.
That's good.
And just having fun with it and not, you know, one of the biggest things that I think I was looking at is, who am I letting down if I did this thing, or who am I letting down if I do this thing? And I have to stop that, because I love the fact that I want to be, you know, support people and help people at the same time, I've got to take care of myself, you know. And so
right.
That's it's come full circle, you know. It's that thing that just yeah.
It's very good, though.
Cool.
It's good to
Tiffany. Yeah. Yeah.
It's well, see, like, you know, in a way you both created space for yourself to get mm-hmm. to this point.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we're like, you know, we get in our routines and we do what we do, and I would say a majority of people wouldn't call it survival mode until they really looked at it and realized, wow, I am acting as if I am in survival mode.
Right.
And
right.
And there are times when we may feel that's actually what we're in. And then there are times where we're like, well, no, it's not. But, it's just easier to call it that because, it's, you know, then you got to take time. Here we are taking time. And whatever that time means, mm-hmm. You know, you ask your question at some point, like, you know, or not even ask a question. Maybe it was just a realization of, you know, what am I resisting?
You know? Right.
Like, what is it that I'm resisting? And sometimes that doesn't show up or you can't see it until a certain number of events and different variables come together. And you're like, oh, that's mm-hmm. what it was.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And someone called that crisis at some point, you know, well, that was the mm-hmm. crisis that allowed me to see. And sometimes it just happens. And then you have that moment. You have a few moments that you can string together, and you take those moments for you and not for somebody else.
Yes.
And that's, you start getting your answers. You start receiving answers to questions that you'd asked a while back.
Yes. I see that. And then it's like she and I were talking last night, and I want to say shout out to Raven Spirit. She said she'll be officially retired next month. So,
great.
Yeah. It's so funny. She said, when I stopped trying to change everything, the energy helped me move forward. And I think that's huge. And I think for many years, Steph and I, we were stuck in our own little perpetual wheel. I mean, we're talking about these things now, which is so interesting, because she said, Anna, you know, look at this. This is 900 square feet, and it pretty much, I thought it was going to be super tight in there, but you walk in, and it's got such a great feel, a great energy. You know, the kids are so happy. They're content, and they're just at peace, and the fact that I guess my biggest fear was I wouldn't be able to see them as often. And I mean, I've seen them every single, I've not missed a day, you know, so it's been nice. And she just said, you know, this is the first, you know, kind of this, I don't want to say the first step, because the first step was agreeing that something had to happen. You know, the first
right.
step is, you know, making the changes. And I think, you know, for me, it's not being able to articulate what it is that you want to say, or each of us not saying what we mean. I think that's been the toughest thing, and that's what we definitely want to work on now, is how do we communicate with each other so that we do get our, I don't want to say needs and wants, but in a way that's what it is. Like, how do you get your needs and wants met or seen by another person if you don't really know how to do that in a way that they understand it? Because we were both saying, all I wanted to do was make you happy. All I wanted to do was make you happy. And in our trying to make the other person happy, we were making ourselves miserable. And
right.
that we understand, you know, it's like, and that we understand, and not in a, mm-hmm. and for the longest time, neither of us said anything. And then it escalated to this. And so I think that was such a huge, you know, again, like I said, I was like really, really kind of taken aback by the whole situation, because, you know, I thought I've been working on living a positive life, and I'm doing all these things, and then it's like, as you keep directing me, it's, you know, you've got to take care of you, you've got to help yourself. I think that's the key right there, is really checking in again, I keep going back to checking in with yourself. And it's so funny because even in a short period of time, Steph and I were talking about all this stuff last night, like how to, you know, checking in as a human pendulum, checking in with your energy and how it feels. And that's just the thing. We both, like when we're on the same, when we connect, we have this energy that's amazing and it just bounces back and forth. And, you know, mm-hmm. again, laughing, talking, and it's like, this is what it's supposed to be, you know. This is what it's supposed to be. And back to ease and grace, right? Ease and grace and faith, trust, and pixie dust. It is what it is. I don't know. I'm reading Raven's responses in here. Listening is so important. She says, for me, it was not saying anything. It was just listening. And I think that's what Steph, she said to me so many times, just listen. Just listen. So when my response was requested, then I was able to say openly what my heart was feeling. Yeah. So it's getting into that space. I mean, I know I continually shift my space into a space of love. That's just me. That's just kind of wired. And sometimes that love can seem too much. It can be overwhelming, and it can be, especially when you're not lining up with it. You know, I think that's a big thing too. Like, not everybody's going to line up with your love. You know, not everybody's going to line up with everything that you're doing. You know, so don't expect them to. Don't expect them to. I mean, that's the important thing: is do it for yourself. You know, have your own little party.
Right.
And be happy for where you are. And listen to yourself. That's the thing. Like, listen. And it's okay when stuff does not work out, you know. It's okay to be on a different wavelength. It's okay. Raven says, don't we all wish we would have known what we know now? She said, at least at my age. For sure. You know, here's the thing, though, and I realized, and this is something, you know, we talked about yesterday morning, Steph and I talked about, and she said, you know, you and I have been through a lot of stuff together. And I said, we have. And I said, you know, I would do it again. I'd do it differently based on what I know now. I would definitely do it differently. I am so looking forward to some major, and I'm going to put it out there, major scary changes, but major changes in my life, you know, within the next year. And scary good, though. I'm excited about them, and I'm like holding my breath all the same time, you know. It's like,
sure.
So because there has to be change. There's no way I can go back to living the life that I was living. No way. And that's the exciting part, is just knowing that something's different and something's changing. And we don't have to know the how. We just have to know. I kind of have this vision of how I want my life to look like in hopefully in a year. We'd be with my toes in the sand, I'll tell you that much. I mean, that's part of my vision. And so, in a roundabout sort of way, I think we're all going to get what we want. We're going a long
True.
Way to do it, but we'll get it. It'll get there. So
we do have a hand raised.
Right? Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do have a hand raised. So I thought I'd every time I'll look over and I'm like, oh, we have a hand raised. So here we go. This is area code 201. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning, Alyssa. This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. You're on the
air.
It's Alyssa and Anna, so we're doing the Sunday show for right now. So what's going
okay.
on, Jackie?
I came on late, but I'm listening to your voice, and I can see you feel the same way I do. Something has to change. And I just hope it's not worse than it has been, but I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just like yesterday, something just resonated in my spirit about the dark, the darkness in the soul, the dark valley of the soul. And I was trying to understand, why did that just come into my head? Because I went through a really strange day yesterday, and I really was alone.
Mm.
You know, I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Well, Jackie, the thing is, not that you're, I don't want to say don't figure out what it is, because when you're asking for that, you could bring it bigger into your space. You sometimes, and this is something that I'm being told, is we have to look at those places. We don't have to look at them and dwell on them, but we can look at them and love them, because those are the things that are going to take us to that next place, that take us to that next step, because sometimes we have to face that to be able to go take the steps of change and shifting and experiencing something new and something that we didn't really know how we were going to get there, but this is how Source, God, Universe wants us to get there. So, and of course, as I say it, that's us. I mean, that's the bigger part of who we are. So when you talk about the dark soul and you're like, you know, oh, this like heavy cloud that's hanging over me and I don't know what that is, you know, just love the cloud right now, because the cloud is saying it's time to make a change. It's time to move. It's time to, whether you physically move in your body or whether you're mentally moving in your mind. And sometimes those two are symbiotic. So sometimes when you feel that, and that's, get up, move your body, take a walk. If you're in a space where you can't get out or anything, do a power pose where you just stand with your arms up and just open yourself up and just allow your body to move. And a lot of times that will shift the energy for you. And I know if we continue to look at that cloud and say, you know, what is that? And what am I supposed to do with that? Then that cloud could actually get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's not really what you want. So the idea is to appreciate it for what it is. And it's a nudge for you to go in a different direction, or a nudge for you to shift how you're thinking, or a nudge for you just to sit and be in love with you. Mm-hmm. Take that time for you. And then once you feel that loving space within yourself, then that loving space can go out and, you know, put an arm around that cloud, put an arm around that person, right. Put an arm around that thing, whatever it is that needs that love. Because you've done it for yourself, you can do it for other things. So I don't know if that's helped you. I just feel
it has. To be honest with you, I'm not even really, like, I'm not afraid of the change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the change because I feel like it can't be any worse than it's already been. It only could get better.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's a step in the direction that you want to go. I know it's going to get better. I feel like it's going to get better. Can you feel that within your body? Can you feel that within your heart? Can you feel that with the bigness of who you are, that things are working out for the betterment of myself? Things are, the universe is conspiring to do me good. When we work ourselves into that sort of frenzy, right? Instead of the, oh, woe is me, you know, stuff is happening. Uh-huh. So, because trust me, that's what I've been doing the last couple of months, just getting into my space of why is this happening? And then Source is saying, well, here, this is why. We're just going to keep perpetuating that. We're going to keep throwing that cloud down at you. We're going to keep keeping you stuck, you know, because you seem to enjoy it. You seem to be focused on it. So now I'm focused on, okay, this is the change. This is the shift. It really doesn't feel so bad. It really, that cloud is really, it just, actually that cloud was protecting me from this big gust of rain that was about to come down. And instead of bouncing on my head, it kind of went around me. And now the clouds moved, and now this beautiful sun is coming out. And I don't know if you hear them, I can hear the birds singing as I'm talking. It's like, wow, all of this is for me. All of this is for me right now. Thank you. Thank you, universe. You know, thank you. All that is.
Wow. Well, I'm grateful for the change. I'm thankful for the change.
Yeah, it's that shift. And and when you want to know what that is, you ask, show me the direction that I'm supposed to go. Show me some signs. Show me who I am. Show me how amazing I am. Show me how creative I am. Show me how at peace and at love I can be. Because your source self, your bigger part of you, is going to show you, because that part of you gives you the answer. And when you are in a space of receiving, meaning you're excited about the change, you're going to be handed that. You're going to be handed that because that's how it works. It's having faith in that, and that's how it works. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I know I want to change, and where is it? Where I want to change, where is it? I want to change, where is it? And so what you're saying is, I'm open to change, and here it comes, here it comes. You go, where is it? And there it shoots back up again because you keep questioning it. Don't question it. Just allow it. Allow the change.
Okay.
So we have the answers. We ourselves have the answers. I mean, that's the funny part about all of this and the realization that as much as we want, as much as we struggle, and I say that because in the last, you know, in the last month, I've had some of the not easiest struggles of my life and just thought my heart was being ripped out. And now I'm looking at it going, wait a second. This is for my highest and greatest good. This is for me. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm better than okay. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This change is going to be awesome. This change is good. What amazing thing is next? What amazing experience? What amazing things can flow within my experience right now? I mean, those are all kinds of questions that you ask yourself. Ask it from just a place of love. I'm open to receiving that love. I'm open to receiving a new space. I'm open to traveling. I'm open, whatever it is that you want. You know, I'm just so wanting to get everything straightened out, organized, and go travel, go play on some beaches. And I know that sounds, you know, kind of out there. But it's like, it's
no,
possible.
But that's how I am right
it's
now.
It's possible.
And,
it's possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where I'm at right now.
Yeah. It's good stuff, Jackie. It's good stuff. You know, we've got to choose it for ourselves because if we don't, if we give our power away to somebody else, they're going to make the choices and then we're going to look back and go, that didn't feel so good. It didn't feel so good.
All right.
So I'm not telling you to ignore those dark spaces. Definitely not. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge them for helping you shift, helping you move, helping you change, because that's what they're there for.
Yes.
Alisa, you got anything to add to that?
No, I mean, I think, Jackie, you know, Anna is basically telling you what's been going on. That's like been a very real experience for her. She's been feeling it very intensely the last, not even just the last month, but, you know, I'd say the last year.
It's been
last
year, yeah.
Yeah, at least. So, you know, there will be days where it feels strange and weird, and it's true. I mean, you almost have to, you have to train yourself at some point to start looking at something different. It's not ignoring it, but like, don't linger too long and keep asking the same question because you're actually getting the answers. You just haven't received them yet. So the answers will become bigger and bigger and bigger until it feels like it just hit you in the face. And the whole point is it's been coming to you the whole time, but you just didn't see it. You didn't want it. You weren't ready to receive it. So it's interesting because it's like we're trying to tell you things, but you have to be able to go through it. You have to know that you're strong enough and you're smart enough to go through them. And even if it seems like it was a bad decision at the time, that was probably the only decision you felt you could make at the time. But you always have perspective, and when you look back, you'll think, you know what, I thought that was the only decision, but there were other options, but it's okay. Like, again, don't beat yourself up. It's how you're going to continue to treat yourself, you know, and how you're going to be able to move forward. But, you know, I'm not trying to annoy to avoid it, because that's normally why these things show up bigger and bigger and bigger. It's to acknowledge, but not to linger, to acknowledge and to think, to use some of the tools that you do have to say, all right, well, where else, what else can I get from this? Or, you know, what can I move on from here? You know, instead of like, yeah, it feels bad, feels weird, you know? And sometimes you won't see those blessings direct in direct correlation to that, but maybe you'll see other blessings that will help lighten the mood for just that moment. And those actually are blessings, you know, when it can take your mind off of whatever you've been putting all your focus on. And it feels heavy when it can be like the craziest joke you've heard, or the smile of a child, or, you know, a cat, you know, or a tree or something. It can be something that just gets your mind off of it and you acknowledge the beauty. And then you think, wow, that was, you feel the difference. You feel lighter. And when you can find those things and you can train yourself to start looking at those things as well, it helps lighten that load, literally and figuratively lighten that load. But
yeah.
It is a practice. It doesn't happen all at once. You know, it's
right.
Not like overnight, then I feel better. It's a small, gradual thing. It's what we can handle at the time. And you're in the space that you need to be in. And your awareness is going to be, it's going to be more broad now that you're aware. Oh, you can catch yourself. I mean, there are days like yesterday, you're noticing the funkiness. You're like, okay.
Yeah, like I was in a place that's going through a lot of changes, and funkiness is, it's so heavy at times, and mm-hmm. I've been able to like sit through it when the heat come and just bear it out, and then after it's gone, I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad, you know. It's like I'm seeing things before it happened that it's kind of like strange, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been like a very interesting journey. I'm now looking back on things and saying, well, you know, I had to go through that to get to where I'm at right now. Sometimes it does feel too heavy, and I just want to just jump out my clothes and run, Forrest, run. Right. You know, I'm dealing with it. Yeah.
So, you know, you got to do what you can do. But, you know, everything that Anna's telling you, man, she's going through it.
Realize, you know what else I'm starting to realize? Like, for a long time, I was thinking it was just me, you know? Woe is me. But now I realize, no, it's everyone.
Yeah. There's a major shift happening in the universe right now. And even, I think, because, you know, my partner and I were together for over 18 years. And to have that disruption with our two kids, and it was just horrifying to me. I mean, really, that's the word that I used to describe it. And you talk about a dark cloud, and just in a nutshell, giving you my rundown. And so she actually took the kids and moved out into an apartment, which, again, was unfathomable. We have a home together, and it's really a step that has pulled me up out of my stuff and said, okay, you know, what's next? You've got a lot of stuff to handle. You've got a lot of things you got to look at. And it's making me look, as I say, not just peel back the onion. We talk about peel back the onion, but this is like slicing you open and taking a look at your core of who you are. And so when you can continue to shift, you know, you talk about the heat. It's like, ooh, yes, very much so. And when we come through this, every single one of us comes through our stuff in different ways. And when we come through it and out the other side, and we bless that for what it is, and we bless I'll tell you, honestly, I bless her for being the person, because, and I appreciate that she is the person that is like my mirror, who's showing me. And so when you can turn around and, you know, at one point be so angry and mad because you think this person is making all the wrong decisions, and then you look at it and you say, wait a second, if this person didn't make this decision, I wouldn't be doing this, this, and this, and this. Or not that because they're telling me to do it. It's because that's the direction that I personally want to go. So, you know, you bless the messes, and you appreciate the people that, you know, you might have the biggest arguments with or the biggest fallouts with, because those people are there to help you move yourself in the direction that you want to go. So I wish I could just reiterate that to the world. And that's really what's going on now. Everything is so sensitive right now. The energy is prickly, if you will. So when we realize that, and we can be more mindful of how we're being with other people, how we're being with ourselves, how we're being in situations, that is huge. So, Jackie, I feel like you in your core, like you don't have to – sometimes I don't understand the words that come through. And I get the energy of it. I get the energy of what I want to experience and who I want to be in this world. And I think I feel like you have that as well. So hold that vision of the true you. hold that vision
right.
of the true you for yourself, honey, and that's gonna get you going. Ladies, I hate to break this off, but I really need to go. I appreciate this conversation so much, Jackie and Alisa. You guys, this is these conversations are so beneficial to me, and my hope is that they're beneficial to you all as well. I take so much from them, so I really appreciate it. Appreciate having them. So,
thank you.
And
Jackie,
thank you,
ladies. Yeah, good luck to you. We'll talk to you soon. We're back on again next Sunday.
Okay.
All right. All right, let me put you on mute. And Anna, if you want to sign us off, we can.
I can. Folks, thanks so much for listening to Universal Energy Radio. Because shift happens. That's kind of our new thing now, I think. Because shift happens. And that's what's happening right now. And I love Jackie. I love her calling in. It's just perfect timing and what we want to talk about and how we're experiencing the world. So remember that life is your journey. So be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you again. We have shows on all during the week, starting again on Tuesday. So please join us. You're greatly appreciated and honored. Thanks, Lisa. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.